You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
Everybody else, I would invite you to turn to the 46th Psalm. Using the Bible provided, that's page 471. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask God's blessing on our time in His Word. Faithful Father God, we praise You as we sang, You are our mighty fortress. Lord, You are our refuge and our strength. You, O God, are the one in whom our souls can find rest. So, Father, as we come to You this morning, we thank You. Thank You that we can approach Your throne because of our great Savior, Jesus. So, Lord, in this time, we lift up to You those who cannot be with us this morning. Lord, whether they are traveling or whether they are homebound or whether they are sick, we pray that You would make your presence known to them, and we pray, God, that You would remind them of Your great promises and that You would lead them to cling tightly to You and to Your Word. Father, we thank You for those who are able to be with us this morning, some who haven't been able to be, some who are guests, some who this week had medical problems and such, and we pray, God, that You would meet each of them as well in a special way this morning. Pray for our elders. Thank You for those who serve together to pastor our souls, to shepherd us. Thank You for these men, Lord, and we pray that You would give us wisdom to lead Your church in Your way and to care for Your sheep as You do, with the great love of our Savior. Father, we pray now as we come to Your Word. We thank You. Thank You that You have spoken to us and Your Word has come to us through the centuries. And Lord, as it has, thank You that it is just as living and active today as it was when You first spoke it through the fathers and the prophets and ultimately through Your Son. Father, we pray that You would prepare us to hear from You this morning, to receive Your Word in faith. Speak through me, Lord, and accomplish Your purpose in us. We would walk away with great confidence in You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Psalm 46 is one of my personal favorite psalms. It was also a favorite psalm of the great 16th century reformer Martin Luther. For Luther, this psalm was a source of great comfort as he faced the threats of the Pope in the 16th century, as he was really a leader in the Protestant Reformation. It was Psalm 46 that inspired his best-known hymn that we sang earlier, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And Luther, as he pastored his people, remarked, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm and let them do their worst." Let us look at this magnificent psalm together, Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. I hope someday to be able to visit the oldest masonry fort in North America. It's near St. Augustine, Florida. It was originally a Spanish fort known as Castillo de San Marcos. In the early 1700s, Britain was seeking to get political and economic control of the region, and so they attacked St. Augustine and the fort. And for 2 weeks, they laid siege to the fort, and they were bombarding the fort with cannonball after cannonball after cannonball. But eventually, the British gave up. They could not take the fort. Decades later, they would again attack Castillo de San Marcos with the exact same results. You see, normally when cannonballs strike a rock-hard wall, with the constant striking, the bombardment, eventually the walls begin to get deep cracks until they start to crumble and finally collapse, and the fort is taken. But San Marcos proved to be indestructible. And the reason for that is because it is made from coquina, which is sedimentary rock formed from compressed shells. And so rather than those cannonballs striking and cracking the wall, like foam would do, or like Play-Doh, the coquina would just swallow up, as the British claimed, would swallow up their cannonballs and just reform right around them, making the fortress impenetrable. So the people of St. Augustine were safe inside the impervious fort San Marcos. Brothers and sisters, God is our refuge and strength. He is our mighty fortress. And you know, none of us this morning are facing attacks from the Pope. We're not facing some sort of British invasion. And yet every generation has its major fears that we encounter, the threats that we face. For the last generations during the Cold War, we feared the Soviet Union and the spread of communism and nuclear war. Today, we face threats that the people of Martin Luther's day and the people of St. Augustine and even certainly the sons of Korah could have never even imagined. Yes, we face the threat of nuclear war, but it's more that the nuclear arms might fall into the hands of the wrong people. We face the threat of biochemical warfare. We face the regular threats of terrorism or of school or workplace shootings, of AI possibly running amok, of pollution, of climate change, of international financial ruin. There are many things that cause us fear throughout our world today. On top of that, we still face the fears that humanity has had ever since God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden. We face the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of exposure, or the fear of loss, specifically the loss of freedom or the loss of loved ones. We face the fear of our own illness or the illness of a loved one, the fear of death. This morning, if you are in Christ, no matter the troubles you face, as Psalm 46 makes clear, no matter the troubles you are facing this morning or that may come your way, you can have security because the all-sufficient God is with you. The sons of Korah who wrote this psalm were of the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Their father Korah, or descendant Korah, was best known for his rebellion against God and against God's anointed leader, Moses. You can read about it later in Numbers 16. But God caused the ground to open up and swallowed Korah and everyone who rebelled with him. But some of his sons, his family, didn't join with him, and they are the ones who later would write not only this psalm, but some of the most powerful psalms that we have. We don't know the circumstances of when or why they wrote this psalm. In fact, we don't even know what that term Alamoth means. It's probably some sort of a musical term. But this psalm is timeless in what it speaks to us. There are three stanzas here, all marked by at the end by a Selah, which is probably a dramatic pause. And each of these three stanzas invite us to see God as he truly is, so that we can live by faith rather than succumbing to the fears that we face throughout our lives. This psalm is written to give us security in an uncertain world. So there are three essential truths that this psalm gives us. First, in verses 1 through 3, you can have faith because God is your refuge. If you are trusting in Christ this morning, God is your refuge. Notice how the psalm begins. God is our refuge and strength. Well, who is that R? Who can say this? Well, this can only be spoken by the people of God. And this is where we've got to begin this morning. Is God your refuge and strength? Well, how can you know? How can you possibly have God as your refuge and strength? The only way is to come to him through faith in Jesus. You see, all those things that I named earlier, all those troubles, all those things that can cause us distress in this life, they pale in comparison to the greatest thing to fear in all of creation, which is the wrath of Almighty God. That's the greatest danger in all the cosmos. But as we saw last week, as we looked at Psalm 2, blessed are all who take refuge in the Messiah, in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. You see, we are sinners, and we are rightly separated from God by our sin under his wrath, but Jesus came. The Son of God came and went to the cross, bore our sins in his own flesh, bled to pay for our sins, his own blood, so that you and I can be reconciled to God. And he's raised now to be Lord of all. And so that question then comes to you this morning, is God your refuge and strength? Another way to ask it is, are you personally trusting in Jesus Christ? If not, put your trust, put your hope in him. And you will be reconciled to God. And you can say with this psalm, God is my refuge and strength. And notice that the psalmist says God is our refuge and strength. He is both our outer defense, our fortress, but he is also our inner source of strength and of courage and stability. In other words, God is our all-sufficient refuge and strength. Not merely for some of the things of life, but for everything that we will face. The reason for that is simply because God is God. The term there used, the Hebrew term for God there is Elohim. He's the mighty one. He is the creator. He is supreme. And that's essential for us to understand this morning. The only way that God can be all sufficient for us is because he is supreme, because he is over all, because he is God. God's supremacy as God is what undergirds God's all sufficiency for us. So because God is our refuge and strength, and because he is a very present help in trouble, we don't need to fear. No matter what we may go through. That word trouble is in the Hebrew plural, literally troubles. Could be translated straits, as in a narrow place, a tight place, if you will. And our lives are full of troubles. Our lives are full of distresses, of anxieties, of afflictions, aren't they? And you think of your life, you can almost count, continually say, well, there was this, and then there's this, and then there's that that I had to go through. But through them all, God is present for his people. God can be found. He's available to us. Or it could say as well that God is a well-proven help. He is faithful to us, whatever we may go through. God isn't our help when we just in a little bit of trouble. No, God is our help when we're going through those distresses of life. You've probably heard the phrase, it used to be popular. I don't hear people saying it much anymore, but they used to say, God helps those who help themselves. Psalm 46 is telling us the opposite. No, God helps those who can't help themselves. So when you find yourself in the dire straits of life, God is your help through all those troubles. Therefore, because God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, therefore, we will not fear. Now notice, he doesn't say that we won't have fears, that we won't feel fear, that you won't experience fear. He's just saying fear is not going to overwhelm us, in essence. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, though all other sources of security are gone, though it seems like creation is ripping apart at the seams, though our worst nightmares become reality, though the world itself is coming to an end, though it's as if Noah's flood were to come back and God in his wrath were to destroy the world, which he promised not to do, even in such a case, he says, we will not fear. Because God is with us. He is present. He is our refuge and strength. We need this today, don't we? You know, we live in a dystopian era. I mean, turn on any media source and, I mean, even good stories, don't they tend to put a bad spin on it? Why? Because fear sells, and so they want you to be afraid. I mean, you know, sometimes it's those big things in life. Sometimes it's those little things that cause fear. If you're a parent today, there's always that fear if you have an infant of the diaper failing. Well, if that's the case, Pampers makes clear to you, don't fear blowouts by Pampers. Yes, there are fears that some of them are pretty laughable, but I mean, if you're a parent, you know the anxiety of that. And fear comes in so many forms, doesn't it? And there can be the nervousness if, you know, you've got a big play coming up or you know, something big at work or an exam or a big sports event. There's anxiety over the things of life. You know, you go into the doctor, you're feeling a lump and you're anxious. You know, what is this? There's worry, there's dread, there's terror, there's panic. Listen, if you're struggling with fear this morning, Psalm 46 isn't calling you to deny your fear and act like it's not there. It's not calling you to pile on guilt and shame on yourself because, oh, you're fearing and you shouldn't be. You know, God knows our frame. He knows we are feeble. He knows we are frail. That's why one of the most common commands throughout the Bible is what? Fear not. Don't fear. Because God knows we struggle with it. I can tell you, there are times I'm waking up in the middle of the night, my anxious thoughts are going. I'm worried about something, and I usually can't get to sleep until I actually stop and pray and give it to God because I can't handle it. How can you have faith with whatever you're going through? It is by knowing that God is your refuge and strength. Let me make that clear. Not just anybody, God is your refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble, whatever troubles you may be facing. So you can have faith because God is your refuge. And then second in verses 4-7, you can have joy because God is with you. And what happens when you're overwhelmed with fear? It begins to steal your joy away. It can lead you to despair. Notice the dramatic change in tone in our psalm as we come to verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation, or it could be translated the holy tabernacle of the Most High. What city is that talking about? Well, it's talking about Jerusalem, of course. But you know, after the war is done, if you can go over and visit Jerusalem, you will find there is not a river running through Jerusalem. In fact, there never actually was. So what is the psalmist talking about here? Well, he's picking up on a theme that you'll find throughout the scripture. You go back to the Garden of Eden, the cosmic temple of God, where God dwelt with humanity. In Genesis 2, you'll read that there is a river coming out of the garden, out of the presence of the God to give life to everything around it. Fast forward to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, and the prophet has a vision of the cosmic temple of God in Jerusalem, and out of it is flowing a river of life that's bringing life to all that surrounds it. Zechariah 14, verse 8, the prophet foresees the day of the Lord, and he says, on that day, living water shall flow out from Jerusalem. Come to the Revelation 22, where John has a vision of the eternal new Jerusalem. And he writes, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. The river of life is flowing out of the presence of God to his people, to all of his creation. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus there promises, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 goes on to tell us Jesus was speaking of the Spirit. You see, in the new covenant, God isn't present in a physical temple over in Jerusalem. No, God is present dwelling in each of his people by his Spirit. And as his gathered people, as the church, 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's life-giving presence is with us. And what does the presence of the Lord do with God's people? Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. With the Spirit of the Lord in us, what do we have? We can have love and peace and joy because God is with us. And so as we read here, God is in the midst of her, in the midst of his city, in the midst of his people. She shall not be moved. Even though, verse 2, the mountains should be moved, that same word in Hebrew, God's people, God's city will not be moved. Why? Because God is with us. So you can have joy because God is with you. We can have certain joy as God's church because the Lord himself is with us. Christmas wasn't that long ago, right? What do we talk about around Christmas? That Jesus is Emmanuel, right? God with us. And so by his Spirit, he is present with us. And as we read here, God will help her when the morning dawns. Literally, it says at the turning of the morning. See, in those days, armies would tend to attack it at dawn. It gave them a bit of an advantage. The psalmist seems to be saying, even before the enemies can attack, God is going to help his people. Verse 6, the nations may rage, the kingdoms totter, and that's that same word in Hebrew, be moved. Yet God utters his voice and the earth melts. Psalm 29 talks about the voice of God. And listen to how God's voice is celebrated. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, those mighty trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. Why? Because the Lord is enthroned as king to give strength to his people and to give us peace. And so as God's people, we can have joyful confidence even as you face the troubles, even as you face the anxieties, the afflictions of life that you go through, you can have joy and confidence. Because God is with you through it. No matter how the enemy may attack, you have God's protective presence in his powerful word. What more do we need? Clearly, we don't need anything more than God himself. So the psalmist then gives us the refrain, verse 7. The Lord of hosts, that is, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of the heavenly armies. He is with us. The God of Jacob, the covenant God of Israel, the unchanging God of grace is our fortress. Brothers and sisters, you can have peace. You can have security. You can have joy and gladness, whatever may come your way, knowing that God is with you. And as Paul says in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God toward you in Christ. Now, those fiery darts of the evil one, I mean, how often is he accusing us? They don't feel like little fiery darts, right? They feel like cannonballs striking us, don't they? And yet, they have been swallowed up in the flesh of Christ, the one who is our refuge, so that we don't need to be ashamed or living in guilt or in fear. Because Jesus Christ, our refuge, is protecting us, keeping us. So you can have joy because God is with you. And then third, you can have peace because God is your champion. In this third and climactic stanza, we actually encounter the first two commands in this psalm. Verse 8, come, behold, come and see. Well, what are you going to see? Well, the psalmist tells you. You're going to see the works of the Lord, God's mighty saving deeds of his people. And you know, kids, at least used to, on the playground taunt one another. You know, my dad is stronger than your dad. Oh no, my dad would beat up your dad. Well, the psalmist is coming out and he's boasting in his God. And he's saying, listen, my God will beat anyone else. Now, notice his boast in God. Look at the works of God. He's brought desolations on the earth. He just leaves everything waste. I mean, think of what God has done throughout history. Just, you know, the Old Testament, some of the things God has done. There's the Exodus, in which God, through 10 plagues, defeated the greatest superpower of their day, Egypt, and then drowned their armies in the sea. There's the wilderness, where God defeated the Amalekites, and then as Israel got near the land, he defeated the great king Sihon and Og. Then there is the city of Jericho, that God brought down its walls so that the Israelites could just walk in and take it over. And then there's the judges through whom God delivered his people. And then there's David, who defeated the Philistines. And then there's in the days of Hezekiah, when God slaughtered 185,000 Assyrians in a single night. Behold the desolations of God. You know, it's important for us to remind one another of what our God can do. You know, the Bible isn't written as like an encyclopedia or a systematic theology. It is the story. It is written as the true story of what our God has done for his people to save us. The reason for that is we are homo neurons, people tell or storytelling people. We need to remind one another of what our God has done. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, come, look and see what God has done. Remind yourself, our God is God. Let that sink in whenever you're afraid. Our God is a warrior. He fights for his people all the way to the cross. So we shouldn't be surprised that our God makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariots with fire, stops guns and missiles and tanks. He fights for us. In the cross, he came to bring us cosmic peace. Listen to what Christ has won for us from Isaiah 11. Verses 6 through 9, where we read of the coming end of war and violence and death. We read, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion, the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. And then listen to his summary then. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Why? Because the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In the new heaven and new earth, there will be peace and joy and security because everyone and everything there will have a perfect relationship with our God. How can you then have peace and joy and security as you go through the troubles of life? Verse 10, be still. It would be translated relax. Cease striving. Stop trying to defend yourself. Stop trying to fight, to justify yourself or to protect yourself. Now he's not saying don't, you know, put locks on your doors. He's saying stop fretting about it. Stop trying to control all the circumstances of your life. You stop just dwelling on it. I mean, isn't that usually the problem? It's not the thing that we fear itself. Usually it's the way that we look at it, the way we interpret it, isn't it? We look about it and our minds get set on it, and then we just worry of all the bad things that might happen. But the problem isn't our circumstances. I like the way that Vance Putman says it. The problem isn't our stressors, you know, the big things, the little things, the regular things, the things that happen unexpectedly. The problem isn't our circumstances. It's not our stressors. It's the stress that we have because of it. Well, Pittman defines stress as the fearful concern experienced when life's demands seem greater than my ability to meet them. Did you see the cause of fear there? It's not the circumstances. It's that I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I'm looking at my own insufficiency rather than concentrating on God's all-sufficiency. Instead, I need to learn to be still and know that the Lord is God. When we're fearful, what do we need to do? We need to turn our attention to God. We need to remind ourselves of who God is, that he is in complete control. He is all wise. He loves you. He cares for you so you can cast those anxieties on him and you can go back to sleep. You can acknowledge the Lord is God and surrender in him to faith. And notice what God promises, verse 10. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And you might think, well, how does that help me as I go through the fears and the troubles of life, knowing that God's going to be exalted? If you're trusting in Christ this morning, what that means for you is that God is going to keep all of his promises. God is going to fulfill all of his purposes. God is going to be victorious. God is going to be glorified. You see, that the greatest hope for us isn't that God's going to be faithful to us because we're such great people. It's not that God's going to be faithful to us because of something about us or anything with us. God is going to be faithful to us. We can have confidence of that because God is going to be faithful to himself. He cannot deny himself. He will glorify his own name, and that is why we can have confidence. Whatever we go through, God is going to be faithful to us because he's promised it. How do you overcome fear? You learn to see and know God as he is. You know, the smaller your view of God, the bigger your fears will be. The bigger your God, your view of God, the smaller your fears are going to be. This is why it's so important that we gather together to be reminded of what our God has done for us, of who he is. This is why it's so important to, if you're not, to get involved in one of our community groups, to grow. You know, we need one another. Our community groups are going to this week go over Psalm 46. If you're not in one, I'd encourage you to get in one and join with others. You need them and they need you. It's important that we practice what we learn. And certainly, if you're dealing with fears today, I would encourage you, go home. Meditate on Psalm 46. Think deeply about what this psalm says about who God is and apply that to whatever you're fearing today. That's what enables us to go to the world and tell them the good news of Jesus no matter what they may do. Now, God's presence doesn't exempt us from suffering and troubles. Rather, it's God's presence that keeps us and guards us, whatever trials and troubles and sufferings we may face. And as a church, we'll face troubles, we'll face trials, we'll face difficulties. Our confidence is found in knowing that God is with us and for us because of Christ. And so no matter the troubles you face, you can have security because the all-sufficient God is with you. And with the psalmist, you can sing, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our invincible fortress." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the promises of this great psalm. Lord, apply them to our hearts and help us to live in light of them so that all might see that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.